We have a quorum. If I could ask my colleagues to take their seats. Good evening. My name is Mark Laredo. I'm a counselor at large from Ward 7. I chair the Land Use Committee. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee. We are being audio taped. I will take a moment to introduce my colleagues and staff, go over briefly what our standard protocol is for the evening, then we're going to get right to work. We try to start promptly at 7 o'clock. We finish on this committee, I trust, no later than 10 p.m. We actually may be done a little bit earlier this evening, I hope, depending on how quickly we move things. But in no event are we going to be here after 10 o'clock. I feel very strongly, and I've articulated this, I think, on virtually every occasion, that we don't do a good job in government if we're here at 11:30 or midnight making decisions. It's not fair to us. And frankly, it's not fair to petitioners and members of the public. You want us to be alert and focused. And all of us, or many of us, have day jobs in addition to this. And we all need to get home at reasonable hours. So with that, to my immediate left is Councilor Jim Tode, Councilor at Large from Ward 3 and a member of the committee. Next to him is Councilor Deb Crosley, Councilor at Large from Ward 5 and a member of the committee. Next to her is Councilor Ruth Ann Fuller, my at-large colleague from Ward 7, not a member of the committee. Councilor Jake Auchincloss, Councilor at Large from Ward 2, a member of the committee. And then from the far right is Robert Waddick from the Legal Department, Neil Cronin from the Planning Department, and Nadia Khan, our committee clerk. We have three items on the agenda for this evening. One is a simple continuance, or rather an extension of time. So we'll start off with that. It's 147-15, parens 2, close parens, request for an extension of time to exercise special permit 147-15, BSL Newton Development, LLC. This is at 157 Herrick Road, Ward 6. Good evening, Attorney Sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Alan Schlesinger, Schlesinger and Bookbinder, 1200 Walnut Street. This was a permit you granted just a year ago, it was for 51 units of assisted living on the Andover Newton campus. Over the past year, there has been some uncertainty as to the fate or the plans for the rest of the campus. There was a bidding process which took considerable time, so it just delayed us a good deal in getting the project ready to go. I'm confident that with a one-year extension, we will get it done, probably starting next summer, but ask for an extension of time.
Great, thank you. Do I need to take any public comments, Ms. Khan? No. No public comments necessary. Any member of the committee have any questions? I see none. I have none either. Do I have a motion to approve? Motion by Councilor Cody to approve. All in favor of approval? Four in favor, none opposed. You know the procedure. We'll take this up at the next council meeting on the 21st. I'm sorry, the 19th. Is that right? 19th. Thank you. All right. Next, 261-16, parens 2. Special permit petition to allow site and building improvements at what is known as the street. This is the Chestnut Hill Shopping Center, LLC. This is at 1-55 Boylston Street, Ward 7. I won't read all the requested relief into the record. We have just briefly for the public, this is not the first time we've heard this. We've heard this before. We had actually a site visit last Friday that the Ward 7 counselors were able to attend, as well as members of the public. I, for one, found it very useful to actually see what the where the proposed buildings are to be located. I think it answered a number of factual questions that at least the Ward 7 counselors had. Before you start your presentation, I want to just provide a little context. I think it's the plan of the petitioner to divide up this special permit request into two pieces, one of which we'll take up this evening and possibly vote on, the other which I think you'll discuss briefly, and of course people are welcome to comment on both portions, but will not be taken up for vote at least until January. The first one is at 55 Boylston Street. That is the extension of the Legal Seafood, where Legal Seafood is going to go, and some infill there. That's a fairly focused request for relief, but we're trying to act on it if we can, subject to the will of the committee, rather quickly or more quickly than the other portion, because we need to approve, it goes to the full city council. They want to be able to break ground when the weather is turned, say in March, probably February, be a little too optimistic. But we don't want to unduly delay a petitioner for any project if we can avoid it. The other aspect of the project, the 27 Boylston Street and the related buildings near the pond, are a more complicated project in large part because the Conservation Commission has and will continue to weigh in on that project, perhaps quite substantially, and the Conservation Commission is not meeting again on this project until January. I would personally be quite reluctant to act on that until we've had full input from the Conservation Commission, because much of what the Conservation Commission may request will potentially change the project's nature and scope. So with that, I'm going to quickly introduce my colleagues, Greg Schwartz, Vice Chair of the Committee, Counselor at Large from Ward 6, and Barbara Bruzal-Glazer, Ward Counselor from Ward 3. So Attorney Stearns, all yours.
Thank you very much. With me tonight, a number of people from WS Development Company, the ownership of this property. Dick Marks is here. He's a principal in the company. Richard Askin, who's the director of design, is here. Katie Weatherby, who's the development project manager for this project, is with us tonight. Allison Yu, the general manager of the street at Chestnut Hill, and Joe Parisino from Tye & Bond, our site civil engineer, is here with us tonight. So, like the chairman said, the way we're going to organize this presentation is I'm going to provide an update procedurally, the kinds of things we've been doing since the first hearing, which was on September 20th this past fall. After I do that, Richard Askin is going to present the design specifics of the 55 Boylston Street building infill in the context of the site master plan. And then Katie Weatherby is going to wrap up the discussion in the context of the special permit and the site plan review criteria. So most significantly, since the September 20th initial public hearing, we have met multiple times with representatives of the Chestnut Hill Association. We've presented and refined the project before the Conservation Commission on 2 days prior to the September 20 Land Use Committee hearing, and on 3 days in September, November, and December since the first Land Use Committee hearing. We've met with the two immediate abutters to the site on multiple occasions. We've had an active and engaged site visit of the Land Use Committee last week, and we've met with the Planning Department multiple times. And the clear focus of these sessions has been on the proposed pond buildings. We've received really very significant, thoughtful commentary, feedback, and input on the proposed pond buildings, and we are taking that input very seriously. Our current intention is to move forward right now with the 55 Boylston Street, which is the current theater building, the former Macy's building. That's a portion of the project. It has generated virtually no comments to date, but we welcome a full and robust hearing and discussion about that aspect of the project tonight. And from a critical path perspective, I think it's just important to reiterate that enabling us to, should we get the approval, to do the infill construction that we're proposing allows us in a timely fashion to move Legal Seafood from its present location to its proposed location in the 55 Boylston Street building, and allows us to move the container store in a coordinated way with the Legal Seafood move. And our intention is then to come back to this committee after we've digested a lot of the community and neighborhood conservation commission and city council input, come back to this committee likely in late January to continue the public hearing on the pond buildings and 27 Bullock.
Attorney Stearns, before you go further, two things. One, we've been joined by Counselor Jay Harney, Ward Counselor from Ward 4 and a member of the committee. But as importantly, I was going to say more importantly, Counselor Harney, but that's not accurate. I've been advised by our legal counsel that there may be some issues with trying to split this permit into two. And I just want to preface before you start your remarks, I would be very uncomfortable with trying to vote this portion of the project out this evening without having some assurance from counsel that we can in fact divide up the two. I'm quite comfortable if you want to go ahead and present 55 as much as you can, certainly touch on 27. I want to get as much input from my colleagues as we can, but I'm reluctant to work on a board order until I have some more guidance from the legal department. Frankly, I take responsibility. I thought there had been some communication about the ability to divide up an existing petition into two. That communication did not fully take place. I took responsibility for that. So I just want to put some context in there. Didn't mean to interrupt your presentation.
Yeah. I think it was, in fact, our intention that that it would be likely that we would work on the board order subsequent to this evening.
Fine.
So, and that's the background for why we want to proceed in this manner. And now I'm going to turn it over to Richard Askin to give you the presentation about 55 Burlington Street, again, but in the context of the larger master plan for the site.
Good evening. I'm Richard Askin, Director of Planning and Design for WS Development. Nice to be here again. By my title, you can tell what my role probably is. I'm involved. I'm trained as an architect and urban designer, and I'm involved in the planning and physical design aspects of our development projects, including the street at Chestnut Hill. At the site visit, at the site walk that Mark made mention of a few days ago, there was a very interesting question put to us, a basic question. Why are the buildings situated, placed on the property in the proposed manner that we have? And I got to think, I participated in a team response, and I found myself explaining the master plan. There is a master plan. I've been involved in the property for over 15, maybe 20 years at this point, and have experience looking at the property from an earlier generation. We inherited a property that came from another time, another decade. And when the property was first in our stewardship, forward is, oh, there we go. I'm going to take us, this slide, this intermediate slide here just indicates on the site plan, which is hard to read on screen, but the red broken line box on the left-hand side is the building we call 55 Boylston Street, the address. And on the right side of it is where you see shaded gray areas of improvement is the building 27 Boylston Street. So this may be a bit difficult to read at distance, but this aerial photo has annotations indicating the buildings by address name, starting with the Star Market building on the far right, number 1 Boylston Street, and the parking lot in front of it is in actually Brookline, but the building is in Newton. Going from right to left, east to west, to the far side, the building 55 Boylston, which currently houses a movie theater and other tenants. and the pond lies to the north and Boylston Street on the south perimeter of the property. So back to the decades long story. In brief, the buildings, the original building number one Boylston, which has small retail shops, including Rosie's and Rotisserie. I think everybody's probably familiar with these destinations. That building started as a building facing Boylston Street with a bus stop, which is how in the 1940s how many, maybe most customers arrived and departed. So in the 1960s and 70s, the property took on a suburban model, and destination, large tenant destination buildings such as Pinelands, which was built in 1949 but was the beginning of the suburban model. And that continued through the 60s and 70s with parking lots arrayed around the buildings and the entrances to the buildings oriented to the parking lots, which is on the pond side. So by the year 2000 or so, when we became the stewards, we started a process of thinking about how the collection of buildings can work together better. And it all started with thinking about pedestrians, thinking about connecting buildings. These weren't thought as individual destinations in our minds. It was multiple destinations in a village setting where people can get out of their cars and walk to experience two or three or ten destinations at a time of visit. So we also thought about the pond, because the pond had been, during the interim decades, was not really thought of as the resource or the amenity that it is. And I think we now, in the 2000s, we're thinking about how we can relate our building and pedestrian experience to the resource, the amenity that is Hammond Pond. So as we are now in 2016, over the last several years, we have completed several phases of improvement that includes new buildings, such as 55 Boylston Street. So 55 is here. The laser pointer is on the 55 building. That's a new building. We've renovated the buildings addressed 47 to 49, where Legal Seafood is today. The building known as 33 Boylston Street, a new three-story building that replaced what had been City Sports and a bank previously in a one-story configuration. 27 Boylston Street is the subject of is one part of the application and the subject of tonight's discussion, along with 55 to the left. And then we're not going to be talking but referring to just that there have been improvements. In 2008, we renovated the building where Rosie's and et cetera are located, and Star Market was also rebuilt that year, completely rebuilt into a two-story building. For reference, the scale of the buildings as seen in elevation, this is a site section elevation drawing, and the building that is 55, we are proposing to make renovations in the current application that will not change the scale or mass of the building, except for an addition on the east wall, which we'll see details of in a moment. And then the other part of the application is 27 Boylston Street, which is a building that started in 1949 as the second Pinelands department store in the chain, and in the 1970s became a movie theater, and then later on it was also office headquarters for the cinema company. And the point, well, the takeaway from this slide is that when we rebuilt 33 Boylston, the building right in the middle, the three-story building, it is no taller. It's not as tall as 27 or the building known as the medical office building, which is also an existing building. So we're going to zoom in closer to the buildings. And again, just for reference, I think if you can see on screen, this is 55 Boylston here on the left. And then towards the right is 27 Boylston in its current configuration. The only tenant in the building today is the Container Store. And the Container Store is already in the process of being preparing to move to the second floor of the 55 building. And they're taking up, I think folks may recall, about 4 years ago we had Sports Club LA, a fitness center, on the second floor of 55, alongside with the cinema also on the second floor. The fitness center closed, and so this is the release of three-quarters of the space that was the fitness club, and then Legal Seafood is going to be moving out of the 4749 address building here. They've been there for many years, an institution, and they are moving to the second floor to take up the rest of the square footage of the second floor of 55. So now, the diagram, hopefully it's legible. You can see red and blue broken lines, bold. And so the red lines show the work that we've done over the last 5 or 6 years to pedestrianize the property and to activate as much of all four sides of every building as possible with retail frontage and entrances to second floors, and with small and multiple tenants, as compared to the old model from, say, the 60s and 70s, that suburban model. So this is more of a village concept. So the red lines along the frontage roads, which, by the way, I think everyone recalls, four or five, six years ago, we turned that highway frontage road into a park Main Street-like scaled pedestrian place. It's a linear place, but it ties together the buildings on the Boylston Street side. On the pond side, to this date, we have established a strong pedestrian east-west passage on the north side of the buildings that links 55, 49, 47, and 33. Notice that 27 is, there's a missing link here, because you can walk it, but you're walking in a driveway or in parking, and it really, the building just hasn't really been touched for many, many years. It's mostly in its original 1949 format, though it's been modified slightly by the cinema presence. So what we also see here in the proposal, so this is really the essence of the master plan, you could say, and this is what we were talking about at the site walk a few days ago, is that the red east-west lateral passage, front and back, let's say, street and pond side of the buildings, is being completed in its original intended master plan sink. So the green, all of the green is new pedestrian linkages. So this slide shows the proposed additional retail on the ground floor of 55 that occurs on the west side and on the northeast corner where the pointer is, and strengthens and actually we're going to rebuild this pedestrian link into a better passageway on that side, that pond side of the building. The Container Store I mentioned earlier will be moving into the 55 building. All of their square footage on the second floor, except for a entry lobby that's on the north side, and it's strategically placed to continue to activate and create destination for the north side of the building. The parking, most of the parking remains. We've eliminated a little bit of parking where you see this new retail, but most of it is taken up by the wider sidewalk is taken up in the area which is currently a one-way driveway. By the way, the traffic circulation around 55, we've had about 3 or 4 years to observe in operation how the cars circulate, particularly around this building, and we have found that this one-way driveway that goes from west to east, from left to right, is a bit of a speed trap. Cars speed through there, And then the other thing we found is that the driveway that now goes next to the entrance to the theater, between the restaurant and the theater entrance, is an unsafe condition that we actually didn't see. We didn't anticipate this. And in speaking with the building commissioner, we found that he's observed it too and encouraged us to eliminate this driveway. And the safety conflict occurs right where the east-west pedestrian passage is crossing the driveway, where cars are moving from south to north along that driveway. It's a one-way driveway. So we have made more pedestrian this building. The 27 building, which we're not going to spend a lot of time on tonight as I understand the plan, but you can see it placed here in several building pieces. It's the same square footage, just redeployed in building pieces that are one and two story, and I call micro buildings, next to the pond building so-called. So the same square footage that's in the existing building, 27 Boylston, is reconstituted in a more pedestrian-friendly, low-scale setting like you see here. The one of the keys of this, again, back to the pedestrian linkage, the linkage that's missing today is discovered in this proposal. So the connection from David's T at the corner where 33 Boylston Street's corner is left sort of hanging pedestrian-wise connects across to the medical office building through a passage. And I would add that the passage is inspired by the north-south link that we have, that we built about 3-4 years ago that exists between 55 and 49. We call it the Muse, and it's story about why we call it that, but anyway, it's a pedestrian-only passage between the buildings that has a character and an intimacy of scale that is conducive for people to congregate and to enjoy and to, you know, visit restaurants and the like. So, inspired by the Muse is, you could say, our second Muse. This space here, again, pedestrian-only. And multiple shops, a lot of permeability to the building walls, retail facing retail. And then the last key thing to mention about pedestrian is that in this gap space between the 33 buildings, three stories high, and the new 27, which is one and two stories high, and two stories on the side facing 33, is we create a street segment. So the scale of the street is a three-story building on one side, two-story on the other side, and the scale of this, and now we have parking that is contiguous, and also, most importantly, the green route shows you the pedestrian path that is on the west side of the 27 building with storefronts facing the sidewalk. So again, this is the game plan for all of the buildings. Activate, animate permeability, and make interesting the walking experience. The last thing to say about that linkage is that it has a visual focal point to the pond buildings. So when one walks along this sidewalk from south to north, there is a visual destination and there's an actual destination of an occupancy that would occur in the pond buildings. This is just a zoom out that shows the entire property from Hammond Palm Parkway to the west and Hammond Street to the east. Not to forget that one of the other improvements I did forget to mention previously is that Hammond Street driveway, it's in Brookline, but it's a key part of the functional circulation for vehicles and pedestrians that are coming from the neighborhood and the area beyond off of Hammond Street into the property. There is also an improvement plan for the front of the what's called the Rosie's building that right now there's a triangular parking area there that has a lot of asphalt, and we found a way to retain the same number of parking spaces in that triangular parking lot right there in front of Star and Rosie's. And we're going to have a small pocket park. So we found a way to bring green and park-like seating and even potentially restaurant seating into that triangle. That's in Brookline also. The elevation of the site again, and the one thing that's changed from the previous version of the slide is that the proposed 27 building is shown here both on the south elevation and on the north elevation. And again, the scale of the building is, I think we can say, is modest and not the tallest building on property. Now, focus on 55. The salmon-colored retail is existing, and the ochre yellow-colored on the left and up here on the upper right is proposed and new. So talk about the southwest corner first. This is the theater entrance at the corner of the building. Let's go right to an image. So here's a photograph of that southwest corner. Theater entrance, you can see the doors here facing Boylston Street, and there's the frontage road and the east-west sidewalk crawl that occurs on the south-facing side of the buildings. So in heavy bold red outline are the is the retail frontage, store frontage, which is glazed storefront and entries to the retail that you saw on this site plan. So I'll point to it with the laser. There's a new storefront segment here and a new storefront segment there. Currently, this is the driveway, and this space here feels quite unfriendly as a pedestrian space, unfortunately. So we are backfilling this and fixing the circulation and creating more destination for and more continuity in the storefront experience. Now to the other corner of the building. I'm going to skip this technical drawing. On the northeast corner of the building, again, made reference to this earlier, this is a new multi-tenant retail piece of the building that frames the pedestrian passage that currently exists and will be reconstituted, made bigger, new lighting, better lighting. We thought we had it right, didn't have enough lighting, so we're going back and we want to improve that. This portion of the, we're calling this retail the infill because it's underneath the existing second floor of the building, with one exception. On the east elevator, this is the east side on the right, this new retail, you see that right here is a portion of it that steps forward of a vertical line, if you can look for that line where the laser is tracing. So there's a small portion of the new retail that extends east by the dimensions of, I have them here, in case anyone is interested to know the dimensions of the addition. I'm calling this the addition. So actually, let's go to the second floor. I'll have those dimensions in a moment. The laser's not working. Here it is. This yellow portion is the extent of addition on the second floor. So the balance of the second floor is the movie theater, which takes up three quarters of the floor, and then container store, which will take up the bulk of this space. And then here is Regal Seafood relocating out of the existing building to the second floor of this building. And to make Regal Seafood whole, we have some existing Regal Seafood space in the existing building, and then the balance of their space is this second floor addition, which is composed of two parts, and we'll see a detail of that shortly. About two-thirds of it is enclosed, and about maybe a third or a quarter of it is open.
So maybe I can just want to make sure that my colleagues and I are all on the same page. In 55, you've got on the left-hand side with some infill just on the first floor because you've got the movie theater on top. Here you have second floor existing space. You're filling in below. You're taking away some parking, and you're bumping out two stories that shaded area there. Is that the essence of it?
Yes, Mark. Okay. Very well said. Thank you.
All right. Why don't we, how much more do you have for your presentation?
There's not too much more. I have some visuals on the addition that we've just been talking about, and I think that will help people understand the complete
Why don't you finish up that presentation, then Councilor, we've been joined by Councilor Lyle Baker, President Emeritus of the Board, Ward Councilor from Ward 7. We'll let you take your question then. Go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you. I'll move this along. Alright, so now we have a photograph of the existing condition of the east wall of the 55 building. So the pedestrian passage that exists and we propose to improve is right in here where the laser is moving. The movie theater is, it's a dark box for the auditorium component of the design. And so you're looking at the side wall, the blank side wall of an auditorium. It's auditorium number 6, I believe. So the addition would occur on this side of the building. So the next slide will show the transformation of that wall to this. So this is really about Legal Seafoods, you could say, because Legal Seafoods had to believe that this was an appropriate upgrade for their current facility, and obviously you can see easy to get excited about this from their point of view. The addition is 2 stories. The first floor has multi-tenant retail underneath, as I've mentioned in the floor plan, and the second floor is the additional new square footage that we're creating in the addition, so that Legal Seafood can have the size of restaurants that they need, as well as an entrance on the first floor, which is they've decided, as I understand it, they've decided to keep their fresh fish takeout counter that they currently have on the first floor. That was a question that they pondered, and they came back with the answer. As far as I know, they're still intending to have the market as part of the restaurant. Okay, I'm going to skip over these technical drawings and dimensions. If we need to get into dimensions of the addition, I can provide those. I have notes here.
I think you're safe to skip over some of that rather technical stuff.
Okay. So, and I think these drawings were handed out, Mark, I believe. So, oh, not yet. But we have them for handout here. Okay, so a look-down view as the bird flies. Where's the addition on... Any trouble with this laser? Okay, here it is. So I'm tracing the 2-story addition on the side of the existing building, which is this wall. So this wall to the right is the, again, blank wall of the auditoriums on the second floor that face the pond. So there are no windows facing the pond up there. The orientation of the addition is east. There is a view on the angle, to the pond, but its orientation is frontal to the parking area and to the new 27 Boylston building, which lies further to the east. You can see the mews right here between 55 on the right, 49 on the left. Another view, this view was requested at the walk around. Here we are looking at that blank north wall of 55, the auditorium. We are looking at the frontal view of the 2-story addition with Legal Seafoods on the second floor. This area, the glazed area, is enclosed, fully enclosed. It's climatized interior space. And then there's an open roof deck, not roof deck, but deck, second floor deck, that has a trellised covering open to sky, mostly open to sky, and there's an egress stair here outboard on the edge of the building. None of this construction of the addition is extending any further north than the existing north wall of the building, so therefore not closer to the pond. And that was a question that was asked pointedly, and so we want to make sure we mention that. All right, so I'm going to move to the next. So here's a detail that we prepared for tonight based on questions from the walk around. And again, you can see Legal Seafood, where I'm tracing with the laser is the interior portion. Here's the existing wall of the building, and here is the addition. So the yellow boundary is the extent of the second floor addition. The first floor is only as big as Legal Seafood's interior space on the second floor. This is the open air deck, which would have seating for restaurant dining. So, again, Mark, there are trim dimensions clarifying setbacks. These are some of the common and appropriate questions that people have been asking, like how close are buildings? You know, just again to show in plan view that the north wall of the 55 building is not being extended northwards, it's being extended, proposed to extend it eastward.
Okay,
great. I think I'm all set.
Sounds good. Anything else you want to add to this, Attorney Stearns?
No, we're eager to get comments and questions.
Okay, good. Let me just, we have an ongoing public hearing. How many members of the public wish to speak on this petition this evening? Just a show of hands. Anyone? No one? Okay. Well, why don't we then start off with, I know, Councilor Baker, you had a question or comment. We'll certainly have an opportunity for members of the public to speak after that. Go ahead, please.
My apologies for being delayed. I just want to clarify, if people had comments about other parts of the project, even if you intend to discuss them, I hope that they could entertain, at least make those comments tonight. Is that appropriate?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Anybody who wants to comment on any aspect of this project is welcome to do so this evening or at a future meeting.
Okay. I guess the question that ultimately we're trying to sort out is that you all are doing all of this because you think it's going to make the project more commercially viable. Otherwise, why spend a lot of money and time? And to do that means, I assume, that there's going to be some potential increase in the activity because you can then charge the rent that's going to pay for all of what you're going to do. So what I'm trying to understand is the potential impact of the additions. There are two that I see from this design. One is simply the visual impact on the pond, and you've indicated that the projection doesn't occur any farther out in terms of the structure, but there is glazed area and more activity, obviously, where there was no activity visually in the past. And the second is, Legal Seafoods is moving, and there are new things. This particular rendering shows an outside restaurant. I don't know whether that's just, you know, architectural.
It's outdoor deck, and I think that's going to be used as part of the restaurant.
No, I'm talking about the first floor down by the parking area, but I just don't know what's happening to the Legal Seafood space that is currently used. So, in other words, I'm trying to get a sense of the net commercial impact of what's going on here aside from the visual.
I think it's fair to say there's going to be more commercial space here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll just offer an observation, Councilor Baker. We certainly need to look at these things very carefully. At the same time, I, for one, want our commercial establishments in the city to succeed.
I haven't seen the Chester Hill Shopping Center in its leadership yet, so I'm not terribly concerned that they're not going to succeed. The question is how successful they really will be in terms of the impacts they generate, and that's what I'm trying to understand. So I guess what I'm trying to ask, Frank,
I can reiterate one point that we made at the September hearing about the amount of square footage in the overall project, and we did a floor area ratio calculation, and the allowed by right FAR at this property is 1.5. The current FAR is 0.48, and the change is going up to 0.49. So the increase in gross floor area compared to the allowable density of this property is not only, the increase is de minimis, and the resulting amount of gross floor area is well within the acceptable density. In addition to that, we've consistently done, going back to all the prior special permits on this site, ongoing traffic analysis and after studies, ongoing parking supply and parking demand analysis and after studies, and the client has their offices at this location, so they have that as well, and we continue to make sure that as uses change, and as buildings change, that we still have comprehensively a site that is meeting, of course, meeting all legal standards and meeting all special permit criteria, but it's also working efficiently and effectively for the community.
I'm just trying to get a sense, though. You've got, and I understand that the square footage is not going up by a great amount, but obviously these things are designed to produce a more active center, because why would you go through this without it? All I'm trying to understand is the level of activity increase, how that affects the traffic flow and the parking and all the collateral impacts that that involves. So that's what I'm trying to understand. The square footage may not change very much, but you're assuming that the activity is going to increase. Otherwise, why do this? Right? So I'm trying to get a sense of what's your sense of the activity increase that's going on here.
You know, with respect to internal site traffic circulation, our intention when we reconvene at the end of January and make a larger presentation more focused on the 27 building and the Pond building, our intention as part of that public hearing presentation is to present some detailed information that we have from our traffic consultant and from our own analysis about how the overall site circulation changes that are proposed are in fact improvements from the standpoint of safety, improvements from the standpoint of efficiency for both for vehicles and pedestrians. So we fully intend to make those presentations.
I'm sorry, Frank, I don't mean to belabor the point, but let me just try and put it in a way that might be favorable to you rather than seem unfavorable. You could say that because of the change of uses in the mix, that people are going to view this site as more of a multiple destination than a single destination site. So they may be, some people would come and stick around. Now, that changes the parking calculation because you've got to have spaces that are going to be available for a longer period of time. On the other hand, it may mean that there's fewer one-stop trips that come into and out of the site. So what I'm trying to understand is you're going through a process of redesign for the purpose of making this project more commercially desirable. But what we're trying to figure out is, okay, let's suppose you're the great success that you hope it will be. How do we assimilate that success in terms of the public interests that are at stake? That's what I'm trying to understand. Okay? Now, you may not have an answer now, and I fully understand that, but just operating on the assumption you wouldn't do all of this unless you thought you were going
Why don't we do this, Councilor Baker? Very fair question. I think I understand what you're getting at. Is the intensity of use on the site going to change, and if so, by how much?
Yeah.
Is that
better said than I did.
Well, I don't know about that, but you posed the question. So, Attorney Sirk, what I suggest is when you come here next time, try to give us, unless you can do it in a pithy fashion right now, I suggest you do it next time and hopefully answer the question succinctly for Councilor Baker so we can understand what your estimates are in that regard. Does that work?
Yeah, that works fine. We believe that the information that we have regarding traffic impacts and traffic volumes and site circulation design is all an improvement, and we don't believe that if there is increased activity, that there are negative impacts that aren't going to be properly managed.
Okay. Good. Well, we'll have the answers the next time. Thank you. Are you all set, Councilor Baker? All right. Councilor Fuller, and then Councilor Crosby, and I know that I've got a couple others.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In a way, I'm saying what Lyle just said, I think, but using a different framework. So, Lyle, I hope I'm not repeating you. In my time on the board here, we've gone through both Chestnut Hill Square and the work at the street. And I'd start by saying that the work that you've done in the street in the last number of years, in my mind, has been very successful. It has worked well for the relationship with Route 9 and the relationship with the pond and the relationship with the neighbors. It is much more walkable. I think it's a much better pedestrian experience. It's working really well. So thank you. I think you did really good work on the design. Can you get to the big picture site? It's back of just a few slides. Keep going back a little bit more. Next one back, probably. That one. Yeah. Oh, that one's fine. Actually, no. Go back to the one before. Nope. Other way. Sorry. I'll start talking, and then the visual probably starts showing up.
That'd be helpful.
So when you see, it's not exactly the right one, but don't worry about it. When I go up to the really big picture and I look at this project, there you go. That's it. I would note that we've been talking about a lot of other projects in Newtonville in particular, and about to talk about them in Northland, where a lot of us are talking about the benefits of residential, and there are important benefits, and the benefits of office retail. And one of the exciting things here, and I'm saying what Mark said, is it really is terrific for growth in office and retail. With this, the important caveat, when you look at this big picture, you see Route 9 on one side, so we know we've got to make sure that the traffic is going to work on Route 9, Hammond Pond Parkway, and Hammond Street. And actually, I don't think we've talked about that very much yet. So I just, when you come back, I just really do want to make sure I understand that. Second is, we're blessed that there aren't many neighbors here, but Mr. Fries is in the audience. I don't see Ms. Glazer tonight, but there are two important abutters right near 27. And then third, there's the pond. And I know you're working with the neighbors. I'd like to know more about Route 9 and traffic. The pond one is the interesting and important one to me, and I'm listening carefully to what goes on in the Conservation Commission. I still haven't heard a clear enough argument. The current impact on the pond is pretty negative. If you build the pond buildings and do the improvements you're talking about, what's the delta between what we have now and what you're envisioning? And I'd just like you to be as clear as possible about the problems in the existing setup compared to what it would be in the future. The other thing that's going on here, and I know Lyle is very aware of it, is you've made an important decision on the building on number 27. What you're doing is, instead of going up to a third floor, you're spreading that square footage out across the parking lot into three additional buildings. And it's not really adding much square footage, but it's spreading it out. And the impact of spreading it out, it's clear on the one side, on the positive, is you do get this more walkability. It's more fun for us as pedestrians to walk by some retail stores than a parking lot. The thing that's made certainly my friends and neighbors uncomfortable are the buildings down by the pond. Yes, it makes it more pedestrian-friendly and gets people down to the water, but the bad news is it makes it more pedestrian-friendly and people go down by the water. But there would have been cars there, so again, I just need you to be as clear as possible. Having cars by the edge of the pond is pretty negative, but what's worse, are the pond buildings or that? And it'd be interesting, Richard, for you to talk about why you decided not to go up on to the third, or I would even say fourth floor on 27, but rather spread out. Is it all about walkability? And I suspect it is, but I'd love to hear from it. And then I just finish because I know you're really thinking hard about 55 and comments on 55. The infill makes a lot of sense on the first floor to the, whatever that is, west. The only question on 55, which for tonight I saw the images for the first time, and I think, question mark, I'm okay with the rooftop terrace, or I guess it's not rooftop, the terrace, the outdoor seating on Legals. I guess I didn't really understand that much of it literally faces the pond. Yes, it's a longer balcony going towards 27, but do you happen to know the dimensions of the part that's facing the pond and that will be open? How many feet long? It looked like it was 6 or 7 single tables worth.
Terrace, the second floor terrace is seen from the pond.
Right.
That dimension is 19 feet.
19 feet. And I think Lyle and I were both trying to figure that out the other day, and I think this is the first time I've understood it. Maybe it's the first time you have as well.
So, you're saying this dimension, the side of the deck, second floor deck facing the pond, is made up of two things. There's an external egress stair, which is going to be in the neighborhood of about, usually a stair like that is 14, 16 feet wide. And once you come to the top of that stair, there needs to be egress clearance maintained. And so the tables and chairs that can exist on the deck are set back. So not at the north face. It's a technicality, perhaps, but the questions at the walk-around were specific to this. So we want to be clear about what the design is and what it isn't. So that outdoor deck area, when you account for the circulation, both the stair and the passage, to get to the stair from the building, enclosed portion of the building, the area is something like 12 feet wide by maybe 12 feet long. It's a relatively smallish area. It's not this large deck with many seats. It's a modest deck, is what I'm saying.
So the restaurant footprint where there are tables is approximately 12 by 12?
So I will want to recheck those dimensions, but I'm just estimating off the top of my head based on the size of the outer dimensions of the deck and the clearances needed for the stair and the egress for the stair.
So I think you'll just have to, there were a lot of questions about the pond buildings and if they were restaurants, what the impact is of noise and light on the pond. I suspect the same questions are going to be for the outdoor seating at Legals, to understand that people there till midnight and the noise and light and music and sound. So I don't think we'd have those questions if it was all enclosed, but if it's an outdoor seating area, questions arise.
Councilor Fuller, I'll just add that certainly for hours of operation, that's something that if we do approve this, we put in a board order, and certainly I think a very fair discussion about how late it would be operated, the volume of noise, where speakers would face. Some of those details, I think, are probably best taken up in a board in crafting the order when we get to that. But I'm sorry, do you have any other questions? Are you all set, gentlemen, with the questions you've gotten?
Yep.
Okay.
Actually, it's appropriate. Can Richard just talk about why 27 didn't go up but spread out?
Sure. So there's several reasons. Retail on floors above level one can be challenging. We have some examples on this property. We've worked very hard to make them, the second floor spaces, work. So part of the answer would be to have the third and fourth floors, at least for retail, would be quite challenging in this location. Another reason is that actually, you mentioned the neighbors, whom we've been working with to understand their concerns, to get their input, to get their view, and like literally their view. So the size of the buildings placed most approximate to the the neighborhood and the neighbor houses closest. We wanted, by design, we thought that the scale of the building should be lower and less intensive. One of the details that is not apparent in the plan at this scale is that the storefronts face away from the neighborhood, and the sides and back of the buildings made architectural with landscaping and buffer, and we've added buffer to the conversation with the neighbors to not impose the activation that is important to the success of the retail in the direction towards the neighborhood. So it's all inward looking towards the middle parking field that situated between the 33 building and the pond, and between the proposed new Regal Seafood on the west and the new 27 on the east, the storefronts facing in.
However, if you made 27 four stories and floors 3 and 4 were office and had none of it spreading towards the neighbors, they'd even like that better. Right?
Well,
if it just spread towards them, I understand.
Yeah. We had the advantage that the office space was on the second and third floors, and the 27 building is intended, we intend it to remain as retail and not office.
I'll say Councilor Fuller. Councilor Quasley.
Thank you. I actually I would like to start with the planning department, or the legal department, actually. So I'm assuming, but I don't want to assume without saying, that we're going to get some kind of an opinion from the law department about what the concern is about breaking apart.
The concern, as Mr. Waddick briefly explained it to me, was you then start to have different time periods start to run on if you have two different petitions. It's just, it creates some complications. All I'd say is between now and when we convene again, Mr. Waddick's going to give us a firm opinion on what we can and can't do. And I understand from Attorney Stern that if we can divide them in half, divide them up into two, and act on this one in January 55, that gives you sufficient time to break ground if need be. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, our hope and our expectation would be that we would have a working session and a committee vote on the 55 component earlier in the month, and that we would reconvene at the end of January on the 27th component.
Okay, so the concerns
I have a question about that is when you're done.
The concerns are mostly about the time from closing the public hearing and whether or not we can close the public hearing on one piece of it or not.
Well, those are all concerns that I have, Counselor.
Okay.
In my experience, and my experience isn't as significant as my colleagues, but in my experience, I've never seen a special permit split in two. It's one application. It's one request. I've never seen it split in two during the process and have two separate board orders taking two separate tracks.
Got it.
This concerns me. I'm not sure that maybe it can be done, but mm-hmm. it hasn't been done in my experience, and I'd want to look into it a little bit more.
We're going to get, bottom line, Councilor Clausen, we're going to get clarification before we ask.
Okay.
Can I ask you to hold just a second? Mm-hmm. Councilor Baker, on that point, do you want to add something?
Yes, I know there's some people here who might want to talk more about some of the other parts, but I really have concerns about splitting the project because it's been explained to me that this is a project entire. In other words, the pieces go together, and I'm concerned that some of the adjustments that might be made if you split it would not necessarily be the same as if the project were considered as a whole. And so I'm concerned.
I want to know what we can do legally first before we then make the decision. If we can't do it legally, it's a moot point. If we can do it legally, I think it's going to be the will of the committee as to whether it decides to entertain splitting or not.
Well, I think it's not a You can, I certainly think you would explore it because you'd ask for it, but I share the reservations with
you. No, I appreciate it. I want to get the opinion first before we engage in the debate.
Okay.
But we'll certainly have the opportunity for that discussion.
Sure.
Anything else on that point, Councilor Baker?
Just that's the procedural point I'm concerned about.
Appreciate it. Councilor Crosley?
Okay. So other than to say broadly, an opinion about the shaping of the whole. After that, I just want to focus on a couple of simple things with respect to the 55 building. And I guess I want to say something broadly first because of how the conversation has gone so far tonight. And I'll just put this out there. I think there's a lot to be very enthusiastic about in my thinking with this project. What I like a lot about what you've done and what you're doing over time is that you're taking what was essentially kind of a large strip mall once upon a time, which is how we did these kinds of things, with a box building at one side or the other, and you're turning it into a real place. Where people would want to gather and hang out. And I think that's a much more exciting future prospect than what we had. I don't want to name another project, but I think this is of the large predominantly commercial projects that we've looked at.
Let's just stick to this
project.
For a whole bunch of reasons, not the least of which is I want a clear record here.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm not going to name anything, but of the ones that I've been sitting here for 7 years, this idea here, I think, is the most successful at creating a real place. It's not a Disneyland kind of place. It's something that has a lot more substance to it, and I appreciate that very much. So I also want to say that I think that, you know, I know we're not talking about the pond buildings tonight. We've decided not to do that, but we got a lot of material that reflects some change across the project that I think has improved it still. The only thing I want to focus on for a minute, because people seem to still be concerned about, even if we're just talking about 55, proximity and impact on the pond, and I think we do need to care about that and understand exactly what we're doing, obviously, both in terms of traffic, people, light, an actual runoff into the pond. So can you go back, please, to the restaurant images, and the one in particular, you had some dimensions drawn to the pond's edge, which I couldn't read. So, yes, the plan view, please. The rendering's much more exciting, but that's great, but the plan view. That one. Can you tell me what those dimensions are? I can't read them from here.
The deck dimensions?
The dimensions to the pond. The dimensions from the building.
How far
to the
perimeter of the building is to the border of the pond?
Yep.
So I can read them off. You can see the four string dimensions?
Yep.
So the one at the top is 73'9". And
okay.
It is a measurement, just for anyone who can't actually see where the string is run from to where, it measures from the wetlands line to the inboard railing on the egress stair.
What do you mean by the wetlands line? Is that the 25-foot setback?
No.
It's
that would be the edge of BBW, the edge of wetland. Which is different from the edge of the pond.
Pond, right, okay.
The edge of the resource area.
Okay.
So it's 73'9". The next string is from the same railing to what's labeled pond's edge. You want to explain? Pond's edge. Literally the water?
Yes.
Okay. The next The third string dimension is from the existing north face of the 55 building, the auditorium wall, to the wetlands line, the same line we talked about a moment ago. That is 64 foot 3 inches.
I think we just got it in our
pocket. Well, I think let me interject. Sure. I think what you're saying is, and the point of that is that the proposed structure is actually further back from the two boundaries, the pond and the other boundary, than the current building is at its closest point. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. How I would say it, Mark, is that the string dimensions at the top, the first two strings, are to the level floor deck of the open-air deck. Mm-hmm. The stair is ignored in that dimension string because the stair is needed for life safety. It's not level, it's a stair, so it's a diagonalized object in space. So it reads differently than the floor deck. And we thought that the most keen interest by this group would be the occupied floor deck.
Mm-hmm. No, that helps. Just to the general idea is it's 75 to 80 feet, you know, something like that. That's good. So I have, this may be an odd question. I'll try to not make it an odd question. You have, I don't know, 20 feet of vegetative material from the pond's edge to the pedestrian path or to the parking, more or less, I'm guessing, from looking at the scale. And the only landscaping plans I think I've seen go as far as the pedestrian path, but I don't, and I could be wrong about this. So my question is, do you work with on an ongoing basis with arborists and horticulturalists and so on and so forth, and how are you planning to care for this edge to the pond? I'm not concerned as much during construction. I know you're going to have a conservation management, construction management plan and conservation commission. I mean over time. And that both has to do with the health of it, but also if folks are concerned about, I don't know, light spillage or whatever, activity and so forth, that edge could be a pretty important edge.
Let's focus the question. I just want to focus the question.
Yeah.
What proactive measures are you going to take with construction?
That was a focus question.
Is that what we're driving at?
Yeah, I want to know who they're working with, and I want to know all of it. So, yes, generally, yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm Katie Weatherby with WS Development as well. I presented last time. This has been a really, really in-depth topic of conversation with the Conservation Commission. This is the area they are the most concerned with, so we spent a lot of time with them analyzing this. We're proposing the reconstruction of 3 rain gardens in this area, 2 of which are on the north side of 55. Another one is located near the pond building. So those are existing rain gardens that were going to be rebuilt, so they naturally infiltrate. We've also talked with Jennifer Steele very extensively about the existing condition of the trees and the landscaping. You'll see one of the requests we have for the overall project is some waivers and reducing the stall depth of some parking, which is just to the area on the top of the screen. We pulled the walkway that we're proposing as far south as possible. To do this, we need to reduce some of the parking stalls. There's standard depth elsewhere, but just not City of Newton standard. So that maintains the walkway on as much existing parking lot as possible. It is on some vegetated area. And then also restoring and planting all along the north side of that walkway. So maintaining, they keep using the term dense, trees along the side of the walkway.
Are you adding trees?
We're adding a few trees. There's a lot of existing trees in the area. What we're trying to add is a little bit more ground cover, the bushes and shrubs that are better for the wildlife and provide that natural filtration.
So I've been over there many times, but I can't recall. The health of the existing trees, there are mature trees with large canopies and so forth. Any evergreens?
There are not that many evergreens in this area now. It's mostly deciduous.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, that's enough for now. Just the importance of that edge, I think, is great, both in terms of taking care of it, but also in terms of
the kind of translucent screen that it's providing for the sake of the lake and for the sake of the folks on the other side of the
lake. Mr. Councilor, just so they can be fully prepared for their next meeting, is there any additional information you want them to provide for us in advance of that?
If they've done all the landscape work, I just maybe need to read it more carefully if I don't have all of it. So probably not.
Well, have we been provided with all the landscape work? Okay.
Yeah, there was a lot in the packet. I just, you know, there's a fine print on the small.
No, I just want to make sure that we're not missing anything. I understand there's ongoing conversation with the Conservation Commission, which may change some of what you're proposing. Is that?
It's going to provide more detail to what we're proposing. The bones of the project are there. We're actually going to provide even more in-depth plans for the Conservation Commission, so we can certainly provide those to you.
Yeah, if you would provide those to us as well, and if I'm assuming you're new to the Conservation Commission before you come back here, if we can get the benefit of that discussion, it'll both be informative and potentially reduce questions for us as well.
Okay.
Councilor Clausley, anything else?
Not for now.
Okay, I'll come back. Councilor Bruzel-Glazer?
Thank you. I have a couple of comments and then two questions. I was thrilled to see the rain gardens and the boardwalk, and then the space near the pond buildings that's sort of a deck, I think it was described as, to the water. I was just like, so Ruthel and Councilor Fuller said, either a building or things that bring people to the water. As someone who watched the Brooklyn Bridge parks get made from start to finish, you don't need any retail to bring people to water. I think we all know people love water. They will go and be near water without any reason except to see the water. So just my two cents. I don't think you need retail to bring people to enjoy a waterfront, meaning that close. So specific to pond buildings that we're not talking about tonight, but just stood out there. And on first blush, I think the improvements to 55 look really lovely. That's really great as someone who walks around there a lot because the pediatrician is there. So I have two smaller questions. I wasn't sure from the overall site. Once you add the building to the north of 27, the first building, I see it on my picture here, but if you want to put it up there. Sort of the site plan that Ruthann had you put up would be great. That's fine. Once this is in place, somewhat like this, if this is what happens, is there any east-west vehicular way, say, from entering on Hammond Pond to get all the way to the medical buildings into Star Market?
Yes.
Because I like the news with no cars, but where do the cars go?
Yes. So, today, I think everybody knows that there is a driveway connection of some clarity east to west and west to east that takes you from Hammond Street around the back of Star and heading west back to the Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
The path today in the central area where we propose the new 27, today is an improvement that it's an improved version of that east-west vehicular driveway compared to what we had 5 years ago. Up until then, it was unclear how to actually navigate the east-west transit in a car.
Mm-hmm.
The improvement we made was good, but we now see an opportunity to make better the transit. So the 27 building not only brings us the new news, but it brings us a more clear and singular driveway transit east to west, west to east.
Okay, so to the north would be vehicular traffic.
Yes, and we studied this closely, and there are details about where you put a stop sign and speed bumps and so on We've been experimenting with speed bumps, for example, on the driveway north of the 55 building. I think everybody has seen that. I think we're going to we're observing and daily. We work on property, and so we're very aware of what works best and maybe what needs to be tweaked. So the idea will be, but in scheme, this driveway is safer. It's more clear, and it will be more efficient for the cars. At the same time, the pedestrian pathways that are that started out being east-west in the early phase of the master plan is now taking on a north-south orientation, as you've seen in the green color diagram. The green color bands show how the pedestrian paths are also being made more clear and more deliberate, and therefore safer and more purposeful.
Thank you. And then, just one last thing. I was reading, you were discussing underground parking and where would employees be asked to park versus customers. This reminded me that on the very western side, the part where you would get out of your car to park and go walk in the woods over there, yes. I've seen a lot of employees park there. Is that just something we should be looking at? I mean, I would hate to not have enough parking for people who want to take a walk in those woods, if that becomes where the employees are always parking.
That was actually a designated employee parking area pursuant to the 2011 special permit from this council when we got the permission to build.
Before my time.
Do
it differently if it's the will of the committee this time.
Well, this is something we might want to look at.
Let's take it up when we reconvene.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Councillor Schwartz and then Baker. And we've been joined by President Scott Lennon, Councillor at Large from Ward 1, and a member of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, guys, for your presentation. Very, very thoughtful. And I think it was helpful that you spent the time to really describe the background and the master plan. I know the planning had asked you to do that. That was really helpful. My sense of what you presented is that, you know, you have a number of objectives, one being improving the pedestrian experience and safety. I think that's a wonderful priority to have, and I get what you're trying to do with that, with the Mews going north-south. I also think that you've said that you want to improve the kind of access to or ability to tap the amenity that exists there, which is the pond, and I think that's also a great priority to have, a good goal to have. And then, of course, I think as Councillor Baker was alluding to, you obviously want to improve the retail experience, volume, kind of success. And you've done a great job of doing that already. You guys have a Midas touch, so hopefully that will continue. I think, though, you know, those are all priorities, and it's like, how do you balance them? And to be honest, in my view, high up on there is the first one, which is the pedestrian safety. And I think that, as Councillor Broussel-Glaser was just alluding to, one of the concerns I've had is that the more that you try to access the lake and the pond, you have to cross that east-west traffic. And just by dint of the geography, by closing off part of that parking lot behind 27, north of 27, you're going to be having the lanes of traffic going close to that crossing to the pond. So I think that that's going to be something that really needs a good amount of attention and engineering and thought, because as you acknowledge, the north side of 55 is a bit of a speedway. I know you're trying with the speed bumps, but that's also pretty, I can imagine trying to cross that would be difficult as well. So I would just, I think for the, and I know we're not talking about the pond buildings right now, but when we are talking about the pond buildings, that's going to be an important part for me, because that's the pedestrian access to those buildings. As far as the 55, so I understand you're filling in these couple of spots. One question on that, I didn't see the dimensions of the actual addition, the second floor and first floor addition that is going to house part of Legal Seafood. Do you have those numbers? That would just be helpful at some point to get. One concern, I'm sure you've thought about this, but you know, the second priority, which is the amenity of the pond, one of the amenities is the view of it. So that outcropping that you're adding to 55 on that west, on that east side, I would imagine potentially could partially block the view from that mews, that north-south walkway, to the pond. So you're giving up some of that amenity, I think, unless I'm mistaken by the dimensions of that view. So I don't know if you've acknowledged that. Yeah.
Should I comment on that? Yes, great observation. It occurred to us as we were designing the addition that there was the potential, if the addition were too large, that the view of a coveted view from the mews to the pond would be lost. So we were careful to maintain the extension, if you will, the lateral dimension off the face of the theater wall to be actually it was a slight angle to the wall, so that from the mews you saw the rendering earlier on screen of the second floor Legal Seafood. It's meant to be a beautiful thing architecturally, and that canted angle helps to see the addition from the mews. At the same time, the dimension is restrained. It is, I mentioned 19 feet in depth, in extension off the existing wall.
East-west. Mm-hmm.
So we did sightline studies, and I can tell you that the view of the pond is still very strong. It's slightly reduced on the left-hand side looking north from the mews, but I think that activating architecturally that wall and the trade-off of 19 feet at the furthest dimension, I think it's a pretty good outcome experientially. So the view to the pond is still available, is the short answer.
Okay, no, I appreciate that. And then a kind of a corollary, and I know we're not talking about pond buildings tonight, but on that other north-south mews next to just west of 27, if you look at the site plan, it does look like that second smaller pond building is kind of, I know you've tried to separate them by, I think now 45 feet or something to increase that viewpoint, but that pond building does block, I think, more of the view than you might be getting from it. It's just an observation, and, you know, you can do whatever you want, but it seems that that small 1,600 square feet building is kind of perhaps not, it's taking up a lot of that view, not just along that north-south axis, but also from the back of the other buildings that are north-facing that might not be as amenity, might not be as pleasurable as the benefits of having that building. So I think that the comments that were made about people wanting to go to the pond, you might even have plenty of retail there without that building. So just an observation. And then the final on these views is just while you're infilling below 55, there's that kind of cantilevered, kind of open, while dark, still it's a little bit more transparent than a block. So you will be losing some of that. I think that the west elevations show, though, with that, I didn't see until we just got this handout, do seem to show that you're only closing off that one opening that's more to the south and not the openings that are closer to the pond. So there's still some fenestration there, and I imagine that that's on purpose.
Okay. All set, Councilor Schwartz?
So separate from the views, I'm sorry, I just want to make two other comments. One is I'd like to see more about the boardwalk. I know that we were just talking about the vegetation buffer, but how much of a safety buffer is there between the boardwalk and the parking and the cars that are going to be, you know, perhaps slightly smaller depth to allow for the two-way traffic on that east-west road? So I'd be interested in that and making sure that that's not just a tiny strip, but as robust as you can make it.
Well, we can provide some detailed information about the elevation of the boardwalk, the railings that are proposed for it, the height and so forth.
That'd be helpful.
The distance across for accessibility.
And then my final question is more about the environmental effects. So I know that the consultant and perhaps even the Conservation Commission focus mostly on light and sound, but I'd be interested in any of the other. I know that you know, as far as water, groundwater and stuff like that, you're also runoff. You're also addressing, and that can only be an improvement. But given the current state, I just would be interested in all the other environmental benefits that you can identify that come from this project, because I'm sure that there are many that haven't been identified.
Yeah, we'll submit to you some tables and charts that we've been working with the Conservation Commission on that look at all of the negative and positive impacts and look at all of the, not just wildlife, but all of the interests associated with the pond.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Councilor Baker, did you want to add something?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I thought it might be helpful to members of the committee, because I attended the Conservation Commission meeting the other night, and also to provide a little context, because I think it's important for the petitioner to come back prepared to address some of these questions. Just on the Conservation Commission report, which we received a copy, there's a chart in there that shows the potential benefits of the project, but didn't show the outbuildings, which we're not formally discussing tonight, but didn't show the impacts, and that was one of the concerns, the adverse impacts that the Conservation Commission had. It said you may end up with a net benefit, but we want to have a clear sense of what the balanced interests are, not just framed in one particular way. And to the credit of the petitioner, they pointed out that the whole report got into some of those adverse impacts, and indeed the conditions they were proposing on light and sound and so forth were anticipating some of those adverse impacts in advance, but they weren't clearly as stated in the document in a way that the commission felt, or at least in the presentation. So that's one of the reasons they want to hear more about it. Second, I want to just comment on the circulation and the parking. The plans we have are robust in terms of their information about the structures, but the parking analysis and so forth is really covered in other documents, and at some point we need to understand what the impact of reducing the space sizes are and the travel lanes, because in effect everything is being funneled into one travel lane now. Right now it's a little bit like a set of capillaries that feed off an artery, that you've got different ways to get to a choke point, which is obviously at the market. But in the meantime, you've got different ways in and out, north-south, and all of that. These are now being closed off so that they will no longer be available, and everything is going to be funneled into one two-lane road. That's a lot to ask of one two-lane road, notwithstanding all of the good traffic analysis that I'm sure these developers are doing, and these folks are good, and everybody's acknowledged it. I want to say personally that I agree that the quality of design here in many ways is really quite impressive. One of the questions, however, though, that I think is really implicit in our criteria, and that is there a public benefit to be seen from granting a special permit, and second, is the use appropriate to the site? And while we're not talking necessarily about the pond building, I just want to point out that Councillor Fuller observed that what we start with in the container store is a tall building that is now morphing towards the pond, and even though there is a break, in effect, what is happening is there's building going towards the pond. And one of the concerns I have about this project, which I've expressed from the outset and I'll reiterate tonight, is that the pond buildings themselves seem to me an opportunity for the community to benefit from not comparing what's there now in pavement, but taking the opportunity to make that whole boundary with the pond a truly public space rather than a private space, especially when it's adjacent to the historic district. And we have the chair of the historic district commission tonight, and he may have his own views on this question. But I remember asking earlier in the conversation that the historic district be consulted, and as far as I know, it hadn't been formally consulted in this project. But it is a boundary process, agency of the city. The last thing I want to comment about is just that the views
of the pond are important from the developer's point of view, but the views from the pond and the public space and the private spaces around it are a part of our concern. And again, the criteria in the ordinance is whether any proposed use on the site is appropriate, and that's one of the standards for which I'm using to evaluate whether, in fact, this project is something I can vote for. And there are many things to be recommended, and we would like you all to be successful. I don't think there's any member of this committee or anybody in the public that is interested in seeing you all not succeed. The question is how you succeed and where you succeed and how that goes forward so that when we're all done with this, people come back to us and say, that was a really good decision you all made, and you all were happy with it, we're happy with it, but we don't want to end up with something where everybody comes back and says, how did that happen? And I don't want to be in that position a year or two from now. So that's one of the reasons I'm very concerned about severing this project and trying to take a piece of it, because it does seem to me have integrated parts that the developer still has not fully seized the opportunity to serve the public interest.
Well, all set, Councilor Baker. Anybody else for the moment? I'm going to take any public comment. I'm going to offer just a few quick observations. I think this is a great project. I'll start off right there. I'm not persuaded necessarily yet on the buildings by the pond. I want to think about that more. But the infill on 55 makes perfect sense to me. And I'll point out what I think is a significant public benefit. If you improve your property and you increase the value of that property, we as a city benefit. We benefit from an increased tax base every time you improve a property. And I'll remind my colleagues, because I've harped on this and you're probably more than sick of hearing me about this, we need to improve our commercial base in the city. This is a commercial space. It's an existing commercial space. It's a successful commercial space. People operating are saying we want to improve that financially, and I think that's a very important public benefit. We benefit from the improvement that you put into the space. We benefit, frankly, with our tax dollars. You're going to pay us more money in taxes, presumably, if your space becomes more valuable. I think that's the plan. You may not like to see your taxes increase, but I think that's, am I correct, Mr. Waddick? That's generally how it works. Have I got that accurate?
Chairman, I'm not sure. Tax revenue is a public benefit in the conventional land use sense, but I'll see.
I happen to think it's...
I understand.
Let me just add a couple other observations, though. I am in a row. I'm going to keep going. And I'm the chairman, and you couldn't hear, Mr. President, so you may regret that decision, but I'm here for the moment. But let me just, a couple things. One, Councilor Baker, to your comment on the creation of a different path for traffic, I think that's a very important consideration. I would note, though, the converse, that the current configuration, in my view, is actually very unsafe, because at least if I drive, and I'm not going to say how fast I go, but if I'm driving from the Star Market and I'm cutting through here and then I'm cutting up again, I'm actually traveling in a place where there's lots of pedestrians, where there's lots of people trying to park. Probably not the safest means for me or somebody else to be traveling. I think it's a very fair observation, Councilor Baker, that we want to really have that thought through carefully. I share that concern with you. But I wouldn't necessarily say that pushing all of the traffic into one, essentially two-lane road there is a bad thing.
Can I just add one question there? Just in terms of your information, the chairman reminds me that one of the issues is how you're going to service all of this space in terms of trucks and all of the things that go into that and how they access the site and all of that. So I just want to make sure that when you come back, we're not just talking about cars, we're understanding how the service vehicles work.
There's certainly going to be service vehicles, and we'll get them to explain exactly how the deliveries would work and so forth so we can understand that. I would just add that Councilor Schwartz's observation about safety and preservation of the wetlands, I would just remind us that right now it's a parking lot. We don't have this pristine, bucolic view from the Meuse all the way to the pond. With this kind of open space, we look at least when I'm there, I look at cars. And I see car after car after car, and then I see the pond. So I think we ought to put that in some perspective. I do certainly want to get more information on the boardwalk. I think that's really important. I think Councilor Crosley's quite I agree with her about understanding better on the vegetation piece. And I do understand and want to think more about what Councillor Fuller said about what, why you don't build up and why you expand and what the public benefit is of having those buildings, particularly the two outbuildings at 27. What's the public benefit of that versus having either leaving it open or some different type of usage that might, as Councillor Bruzel Glazer suggested, create more ability and willingness to use the water productively but not essentially put buildings there. I understand you have some vision here. I'm just sharing that my initial thoughts, I need to hear more about that. I don't want to monopolize more time on this. I want to make sure we take public comment. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard this evening? Come on up, please, right to the podium. Gentlemen behind you as well. Anybody else, and we're not closing the public hearing, so there will be ample opportunity to be heard at a later date. You can just cut through there, ma'am. Hopefully you can get right through. Sir, do you want to speak as well? Anybody else then after that? Over here. You'd be the third person then, and in the back as well. All right. Just ask that you state your name, your address, and keep your remarks to about 3 minutes or so, if you would, please.
Yes.
Good evening.
My name is Mary McElroy. I live at 10 Hammond Pond Parkway, and I come to these meetings all the time. Some of you have seen me, and I can't come to a meeting and not say something. So as I was listening to all of these comments, you addressed the first issue I had was there's a ton of traffic going back and forth from Star Market to the theater area. And I'm concerned that the two-lane highway also is not going to be adequate. But I also noticed that right now the Building 27 contains one store, the Container Store, which by definition limits the type of customer and the volume of customer, to be replaced with, looks like, 15 stores, which are going to be appealing to different customers. And my assumption is that that will increase the traffic as the Councillor Baker was mentioning. And so I'm wondering if that could be addressed at some point, the difference between one store and 20 stores, not just the volume, but, I mean, the different types of stores. It's going to be pulling in different types of people at different times of day.
Thank you, ma'am. And, you know, I don't want to comment each public comment, but I think the question for the petitioner is, can you provide information of what you anticipate the increased traffic is going to be with your development, whether it's just 55, whether it's 27, whether it's 27 with the outbuildings. Good evening, sir.
My name is John Wyman. I live at 47 Old Orchard Road in Chestnut Hill. I am the chair of the Chestnut Hill Historic District Commission, but I'm not here representing the commission this evening, but here just as an individual citizen. Over 20 years ago, the city created the historic district, and that borders this shopping center from the Brookline line all the way up to the lake, the Hammond Pond, and all the way along the east side of the Hammond Pond, too. And among the reasons for the establishment of the historic district were to preserve open spaces and the rural character of the district. The two pond buildings there, in my view, are really, while they're not in the district, they really are right on the edge of the district and the beginning of a wall off the district, and I think will have an effect on the district and the openness of it and a very immediate effect on the adjoining property. And I think that absent some very compelling reason to have structures there and put structures that close to the district, that the preference would be to locate the activities somewhere further away from the district and from the pond.
Thank you, sir. Next, please come on up.
And then the gentleman in the back. Jane Fulkerson. I live at 51 Middlesex Road in Chestnut Hill. And I wanted to say that Chestnut Hill doesn't have the benefit of a village center along the lines of Newton Highlands or Wobbin or some of the other villages in the city. And that we are really
have to have, the Tuckman Hills Shopping Center really is our community center, and I think the developer alluded to the idea that they've tried to make it feel more like a village center than it had in the past. And in many respects, that has been done successfully. What I'd like to ask the board to consider, the Land Use Committee and the board to consider, is that in this Tuckman Hills Shopping Center, it's unique in that it's privately owned. Our village is privately owned, with the exception of Hammond Pond and those portions along it that are owned by the city. And my question is, if structures are erected next to the pond, and you just may be overstating it, is that, in a sense, privatizing what is really a public asset? For instance, would you have to buy a meal to pay them to be able to enjoy this public asset in a way that you didn't have to before? And whether our village needs and the city's needs and the developer's needs might be better met by something that's more flexible, maybe an open-air pavilion, something that can be used seasonally, that doesn't sort of wall off the ownership and the pleasure of the pond from the community in what is supposed to be sort of our active village setting. So that's my question to you.
Great. Thank you. And I'm sure we're going to hear from the petitioners, not this evening, but later on, about some thoughts on that, why they've considered it or not considered it. Thank you. Sir, come on up, please. Anybody else after this gentleman? Okay, remember the public hearing will stay open, so you'll have ample opportunity to speak later on. Good evening.
Hi, I'm David Freeze. I live at 25 Moorfield Road, a direct abutter to the proposed pond building. I know we're not talking about the pond building, but
we've all talked about the pond building, so go right ahead.
I would say that actually I'm happy to defer to the next meeting. I have a lot of specific concerns about the pond buildings, which I'll share then. I don't want to get into it now. There'll be a whole other discussion. So we'll say that, just suffice to say, I would prefer that they not be there, and we can get into those details at the next meeting. I also want to reiterate that I've been to these two meetings now and every Conservation Commission meeting, so I've heard all the pros and cons, but I also want to met with WS Development a number of times. They have been gracious, accommodating, flexible, working really hard to try to mitigate my concerns about the overall development. So they've been, they've been great to work with, but for me, the pond buildings don't work for a number of reasons. We'll spell that out at another time. 27, it was suggested that the expansion and sort of flattening that out, moving it toward the pond might be better for me. I'm not sure that is better for, or from my perspective, having it closer to my property. I recognize there's a deficit to having a four-story building to look at, but I'm not sure, depending on how it was developed, that that I would prefer having 27 be pushed out. So I think that's all I want to say tonight. I think there's been a lot of good points, and I'll look forward to taking this up at the next meeting.
Great. Thank you very much, sir. Anybody else? I see none. I'm going to entertain a motion to hold this item. Do I have a motion in committee to hold? Councilor Cody, motion to hold. All in favor of holding? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The item is held. We'll take this up again in January. Thank you all very much for attending, your comments. There's a lot more work, obviously, to be done on this project. Thank you. Next item.
Last item of the evening. 342-16, special permit petition to allow self-storage and retail space at 143 Rumford Ave, SSC Development, LLC. This is at 143 Rumford Ave, 211 Rear, Lexington Street, Ward 4. Attorney Morris, this is your project. If you would give us an overview, please, and then we'll try to get right to work. And I see we're rapidly losing our other colleagues who apparently don't find your presentation as interesting as the former one. You know, storage facilities just don't have the same curb appeal. Let's leave it at that. We, on the other hand, on the Land Use Committee, find all this stuff very interesting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Terry Morris. I'm an attorney with offices at 57 Elm Road in Newton, and I'm here representing the petitioner, SST Development 2, LLC. As we sat and listened to the prior presentation, McLean and I were actually quite thrilled to hear the chairman's strong endorsements of greater utilization of underutilized commercial properties for the tax revenue that's involved. And here we have a severely underutilized piece of commercial property in a business 2 zone on the edge of the city in Auburndale, in West Newton. I really want to focus, at least the planning department says it's been very well done, and I will assume that the chairman has often told us that the committee has read it. We don't have to restate any of the important points. But there is one thing about this, one important characteristic about the petition and the site, actually, that speaks directly to the waivers that are being requested. As you know, the storage facility is a by right use in the business 2 zone, and the only reason we are here is actually because we are seeking waivers on FAR numbers of stories and a waiver of the parking, lighting, and landscaping requirements. In a business 2 zone, it's interesting to note, and if you look at your report and you look at the zoning review memorandum in particular, we'll see two important dimensional controls that are missing: lot coverage and open space. That's because the allowable FAR in a business 2 zone is 1.0, and there are no lot coverage limitations, which means someone could literally cover the lot with buildings. In this particular case, and although it's not reported in the report, I will point out to you that the lot coverage, building coverage on the main parcel, which is going to house the storage facility, is 35%. And on the office lot, it is 27%. Why do I point this out? Because you know that there's a correlation between setbacks and building height, and here we have essentially the converse of that. We are basically only covering 45% of the lot, and we are seeking a waiver on the height and the stories. The other important physical characteristic is that this site sits in a bowl or a valley. It is actually, there's better than a story and a half difference in elevation between the properties on Lexington Street, the office building on the upside of Rumford Ave, where the former incinerator was located, and then, of course, the landfill itself rises on the south. And why is that important? Again, because it's an appropriate location for you to grant the waivers on the stories and the height, and indeed the FAR. And as a corollary to that, of course, the increased setbacks and the increased open space on the site allow us for greater flexibility with the landscaping requirements, and although we are seeking that waiver of that particular requirement as it relates to interior landscaping for facilities containing more than a certain number of cars, it allows us basically to spread that landscaping about the site in a more beneficial manner for the abiding properties. And so, for all those reasons, Mr. Chairman, we think that this is an appropriate use, and with me this evening is Mr. David Williams of SST Development, and also Patrick Dunford, our traffic engineer from VHP, and they're available to answer questions that the community may have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Are there members of the public on this one who wish to speak? I see a couple back there. We'll certainly give you an opportunity to do that. I want to just hear from Mr. Cronin first, and I apologize for not letting you speak on the Chestnut Hill one, but I think we probably have plenty of dialogue on that without a further presentation from planning. So go ahead. Do you want to give us a brief overview of what we're looking at and what the planning department's thoughts are?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No apology necessary. The petition before you is a self-storage facility, three stories, a height of 36 feet, to go into the special permits required for the Newton zoning ordinance. The petitioner is requesting relief to allow a building greater than 20,000 square feet, to allow a building with three stories, to allow a building 36 feet in height, and an FAR of 1.35. In addition, the petitioner is also seeking relief to waive 32 parking stalls associated with the self-storage facility and waive the landscape screening requirements and lighting requirements of parking facilities containing more than five stalls. Criteria to consider when reviewing this petition, whether the site is an appropriate location for a building of three stories and 36 feet in height with a floor area ratio of 1.35, whether the site is an appropriate location for a building of greater than 20,000 square feet, whether access to the site over streets is appropriate for the type and number of vehicles involved, and whether the site planning, building design, construction, maintenance, or long-term operation of the premises will contribute significantly to the efficient use and conservation of natural resources and energy. And the final criteria is that the requested waivers related to the number of stalls, landscaping, and lighting of the parking facility are appropriate because the literal compliance is impractical due to the nature of the use or the location, size, width, depth, shape, or grade of the lot, or that such exceptions would be in the public interest or in the interest of safety or protection of environmental features. This is a quick aerial of the site in Auburndale. To continue north on north on Lexington Street, you would be into the Waltham town line, and to the left is also a residential neighborhood in Waltham to the Charles River. This is the proposed site plan. As Attorney Morris stated, it is a large parcel, and the petitioner will be creating an A&R plan, which will go before the city's planning board to divert the parcels into two. As you can see, the self-storage facility is on the right, and the petitioner is proposing a one-story retail or office use on the second parcel. The petitioner is unsure of whether that second parcel with the expected retail or office use will be retained or sold. The petitioner has provided 18 parking spaces so that that by right or that office or retail use would be by right. These are the elevations. So the top elevation is what you would see from Rumford Avenue, and the bottom is from the rear. And this is the north and south. The top would be facing that expected retail or office use. On the right there is where the customers at the facility would load or unload into the storage. And then the bottom would be facing the towards the intersection of Lexington Street. And I'll be happy to answer any questions you or the committee may have, Mr. Chairman.
Great, thank you. Why don't we do this? Let's just take the public comment first. As members of the public, I saw a couple hands. If you, sir, you want to come up, please, and then someone back there, I believe, ma'am, you wanted to speak as well. Good evening, sir.
Mr. Chairman, what's left of the board?
We do have seven members of the committee, so these are the most important people.
Okay. My name is Sam Scarello, and for some reason, I seem to get involved in storage buildings because there's one next to me, and I'm also a member of the Metcalf Corner Group. I'm co-chairman, and Jenny Garden is the other co-chairman. I'm also a member of the Waltham Island Association. Whether you know it or not, Rumford Avenue brings me into Newton and Waltham's Island Association. Watt Avenue is the other. So there's only two roads that bring into that area. I ran this across the water transfer from Waltham, and of course he's 100% for it. We're 100% for it because this is a piece of land that, as you saw the first picture, I don't know what the taxes are in there, but when the chairman mentioned taxes, this is definitely a benefit tax-wise. And it's also a benefit to the neighborhood. New councilors have always been very good lately with my neighborhood. I mean, we have an access to the squalors that you've already saw. We also have country desserts. These are very good places, low change. When it comes to traffic and the storage building, there is practically no traffic at all. We have a few people that come in. I can count on my hand the amount of trucks that come in a year. It's very minimal. And that's a big building next to me, which is only going to be four stories in 22 cities. If you go by there and I see big tractor trailers, they're delivering stuff to the pizza shop across the street. They're not in the storage building. But this neighborhood is in a neighborhood in transition. As a matter of fact, the whole city of Newton is in transition. Because as I watch things going on here, there's different things going up all over the place. There's a tremendous demand for storage. If someone builds an apartment building or they build a condo, the last thing they do is give someone storage because it's getting furniture square foot, as you know. Probably $200 or $300 a square foot, they're not going to do it for storage. So there's a demand, but there's an actual purpose. And in my neighborhood, this is a tremendous improvement. Because Hampton Avenue still has two tremendously zone-violating businesses. Because as long as we have the so-called Water Avenue dump, we're going to attract the wrong people. This happens to be the right type of person. And as far as the office building goes, I think it's 5,000 square feet. That's probably less the size of some of the houses I've seen built in Newton. So that's not a tremendous draw of people. We're hoping it'll be maybe a medical building or maybe a professional building. So we're in the Nightcaps Comment Group and also the Newton and Walpole and Ireland Association. We're for this. And I think it's a big improvement to my neighborhood and actually the city in general. And thank you very much tonight.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated. Next, please, come on up.
Good evening, I'm Jenny Gardner from William Street, West Newton, and I co-chair the Nightcaps Corner Neighborhood Association with Sam. I think he hit on everything except I want to put an asterisk there. SSD Development and Terry Morris have agreed to work with us so that we can just kind of tweak the landscaping of it. We're concerned about the back of the building where it's pretty sort of empty and all you see is a big wall. We're concerned about the front. Many of you probably do not know, but without going back 100 years, it was the Lake region of Newton. We'd like to restore some green and some trees. So the developer and the attorney said they would work with us and tweak the outside of the project. Other than making it more green, making it with trees, we're in complete agreement with going forward with this.
Wonderful. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councilor Auchincloss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also had a question about the landscaping. You have in the planning report that you were willing to grant a waiver for landscaping from the parking stalls. Could you just explain a little bit why?
Read the ordinance states that a parking stall below 5 stalls has to be buffered from adjacent properties and streets. There's a couple different options. In this design, the stalls are located between the two buildings, so they're only visible from the street, and there will be some landscaping proposed. So my thinking was that there's going to be some landscaping proposed that would offset that. The stall is visible from the street, although there will be a drive aisle, so the parking will be visible.
Okay, I would echo the abutters and just say I think more work needs to be done on the landscaping in general. I'd like to see that plan. Second question is, do you have a sense of what type of use the office building would be?
Good evening, I'm Dave Williams. I'm with SST Development. We don't have a specific use yet. We have a broker who will help identify something. We think it's going to be more medical office or professional office as opposed to retail. It's a little bit off the beaten path in order to get a retail tenant. And if I can add to the screening in the parking lot, as we laid this out and laid out two lots, the requirement is that there's landscape buffer between the property line and the parking. Instead of having two driveways, we've combined the driveway, which kind of eliminates landscaping on the property line, so that we only have one curb cut and cars access the parking on each side. And we're certainly amenable. We've provided the landscape plan with buffers. The elevations don't quite be justice to the size of the trees that are on the official landscape plan, but we're certainly willing to work with the neighbors in the city to enhance that if that felt appropriate.
Yeah, I don't know if the scale was off or something, but it just looked kind of bare.
On the elevation, there is a landscape plan in your package that has specific tree sizes, and it's certainly more generous than what the elevations show.
Well, I'll defer to Councilor Crossley on her landscaping opinion. The last question I had was, am I correct that it's right next to the Rumford Ave recycling depot?
It is. Okay. All set? Councilor Crossley, then Cody.
Thank you. So overall, it's terrific to see this piece of property getting developed. And I think the site plan works nicely and will, I'm pleased that the neighbors agree, will be an improvement over there. I have a few questions. So one is, has the planning department talked to the DPW? And I noticed a couple things as I tried to scour these documents. One is there's some encroachment, it looks like, onto your property from the DPW. And operations over there are in the process of getting cleaned up. On the one hand, we have a new trash and recycling manager, forget her exact title. But I just thought it would be prudent to have that communication so that I realize our property is ours and theirs is theirs, but just to...
Who do you suggest? Do you want the petitioner of the communication? Do you want our planning department?
It's probably planning.
Okay.
But I did notice it. The idea was triggered because I noticed on one of your plans you specifically call out some encroachment, and I believe it's the city encroaching on this property.
So before you, I just want to, I don't want to lose it. Mr. Corin, are you aware of that? Have you had any conversations with the other city departments?
I did notice it on the site plan. I have not reached out to DPW.
So that you go through the commissioner to Juanita Trabert, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And the second thing about DPW is, as you probably know, we're developing the Rumford site for a very large ground-mounted solar facility, and that is underway, and that's going to be completed before you break ground, I'm sure. But the thing about storage facilities is they have gigantic flat roofs, and you may not be interested in this for your own purposes, but there's the very beginnings of conversations about public-private partnerships in terms of utilizing commercial roofscapes to expand solar power. And my question at this point is, would you be willing to at least commit to discussions with the city about the city possibly using your rooftops in that way?
I can tell you, just discussions.
I mean,
I appreciate the suggestion. The company that will be managing this building and ultimately own it is Extra Space Storage. They're the second largest storage company in the country. They're very committed to solar. They have it on many of their buildings when they make sense for the right economics. I've been told that more than half of their facilities are solar. The ones in this area are solar to the Massachusetts.
Okay.
Incentives have been very strong. They will look at this. They'll look at this to see if they can do that themselves. I can certainly facilitate a conversation if they're not going to do that about another option.
Okay, so it would be fine if they're using the rooftop for their own purposes. The storage facilities have very light electrical loads anyway, so their rooftop is far in excess of what they would need for themselves.
Absolutely.
It says in here, and this is something I want to work on a little bit more on our end, that there's this matter of complying with the fifth special permit criterion, which is about showing that you've made a significant contribution to the conservation of energy and natural resources. And the language in here on that is on page 5 of the planning department report. It says you're going to use specialized roofs. I'm assuming you're using a membrane roof and a light-colored roof, like a TPO membrane. Is that correct?
That is correct.
When we say stuff like this, is it because it's already specified on your documents?
No, we've actually used it on just about all of our buildings, and it's a matter of reflecting. We try to make these.
I believe you. That's not my. I'm sorry. I'll make my question more clear. It's partly for the planning department. Mm-hmm. So there's a few things said here. The roof material, the high efficiency glazing, exceeding stretch code requirements with high efficiency gas fired equipment, etc. And when we say stuff like this in our as our justification for meeting that criteria, what I want to know is it because it's specified somewhere in the documents we have that are going with the special permit, or do we need to put it in the board order?
So just so I understand the mm-hmm. question, is it in the plans so we know it's there, that it's going to be followed, or if not, do we need to specifically put a condition, probably
right.
rather than a finding, in the language of the board order? And
right.
do you have the answer for that, Mr. Cronin?
I think it would be best as a condition because of the, I think it's in the building materials that we don't really see. We just reach out to the developer and ask for the materials
okay.
that are being
Would you
used.
Hold that thought then, or so that when we get to a board order on this, we make sure that we include it?
Sure. I want to make us, we may not be able to get to the specifics. If we're doing, I notice you have a draft board order. If we may not be able to get to the specifics on this tonight, but
right.
I think it's important going into the future. We did it with a recent petition. We got a lot of information really specific that we know is going to go in the board order. But it is the fifth criterion, so to gloss over it and just say, well, we've talked about it, and this is not really about, I'm sure this is what you're going to do, from our point of view, isn't giving it any teeth. So
I think that's an excellent observation, and so I think, Mr. Cronin, as you draft, we have a draft here, but as you refine that, if you put in the specifics, and I think on a going forward basis, and if I may, Councillor Crosby, I think what you're also saying is not just for your work, but for Mr. Cleaver's work and Ms. Anand's work, if we can include the specifics in our board orders so that we don't have any ambiguity about it, I
right.
hear you saying that would be very beneficial.
Right.
Did I
stuff
capture
that,
that
isn't in the documents, but is
okay.
being used to say we're meeting this criterion, just as we would do with a lighting plan or for whatever other zoning relief we're asking for. And then in the engineering report, which I actually found very useful in this particular case, because I know we're talking about using those sparingly, but I do have a question about the engineering report. So apparently, if I'm reading this correctly, there's a very high groundwater table in this area, which makes sense. We're in close proximity to the Charles River, and we've had some cleanup to do on our own DPW sites approximate to the Charles River. Some serious cleanup we've had to do, and I'm sure we'll have to do more. So if you're not able to put filtration units in as a way of collecting and storing groundwater, I'm not quite sure I understand what it is you are going to do.
Sure, I can answer that.
Yeah.
So we have done studies on the site, both geotechnical and environmental. We found groundwater approximately at 8 feet. They have designed to meet criteria infiltrators underneath the parking lot, which will store the water and then discharge at a proper rate.
Shallow.
It is shallow,
okay.
absolutely.
Okay.
You only need 4 to 18 inches to cover over that to the parking, and then it goes below that.
Okay.
We've used it on other projects very successfully.
Okay, and
I know it's called a filtration device, but it actually doesn't filter the water unless you put filters. Are you planning on putting filters?
No, it's actually to take it to more infiltrate. It's an infiltrator, not a filtration.
Okay. Can't ask for that because you're way outside of the buffer zone, I believe. I think that was it for now.
Okay. Thank you. Councilor Cody?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a quick question, more Attorney Morris. So I share the Chair's concern with the tax classification and where our sources of the revenue are coming from. So since you brought it up, I believe it's kind of fair game. Have you done an analysis of the benefit to us on the taxes going from its current situation to the new?
We have not done a tax analysis yet.
See, I just feel that'd be important in some of these projects so that we can promote commercial uses like this.
Drive by there now, take a look at what's there, see that they're putting in something new.
I think it answers the question.
I mean, this one, it seems to me quite self-evident. You're making a significant
change. Previous concerns with the residential tax base is a little bit different. We're trying to get that commercial mix up a little bit.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't know that because it's really up to the assessors then once the work is done to assess the property and figure out what its proper valuation is. So, I'm in agreement with you, Councilor Cody, but I don't think they have any way of knowing, except I think the generalization that it's likely that the taxes are going to be higher. And that would be expected. Is that okay? Okay.
I'm going to make a comment so in the future that people put that awareness out there.
Councilor Schwartz?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a couple questions. One of the things that you're looking for, the reason why it's before us is that trying to go to an FAR of 1.5 instead of 1.35. So I was just wondering, that's obviously driven by the size of the structure, and so
when you go higher, you can go up to a 1.5 FAR. And we're asking to go to 1.35. So we're not asking to increase that.
They're not asking for FAR release, is my understanding. Is that right?
Well, we are as a part of going higher than one story.
Yeah,
okay.
But not to the max of 1.5.
I see. I think it still warrants the question, though. I apologize if I'm being dense, but I think, so you want to go higher, which gives you more FAR, but that also is something that we have to approve to go higher. And if you don't go higher, you can't do quite as much volume. So in a sense, you are making a decision on the size, which I understand probably the market is. I just wanted to hear how you determined, how you settled on this particular 107,000 square feet as your goal for this building. Is that a market analysis? Is that...
Yeah, we do an extensive market analysis to try to understand what our customer base is, what other facilities are in the area. There are some national standards that we follow for saturation when there's too much storage in an area, so we know that the business would succeed. And we came up with a number of approximately 80,000 net rentable, which comes when you add the hallways and the inefficiencies and all that, goes up to about 107,000 square feet. We could build bigger. We initially were proposing something more in the magnitude of 130,000 gross square feet. And after really studying the market, felt that we needed to go smaller in order to make it work.
And so since height is, it's been mentioned that the landscaping and everything might not be tall enough to cover up some of the walls, so the height is obviously, a factor here. So you came up with 107,000 based on that analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as the parking, the decision to go with 12 spaces instead of anywhere closer to 44, was that driven by the footprint of the building? That you don't have a lot of space for the parking, or you...
It's actually driven by the use. We've built 13 facilities. Every facility that we've done about 1.5 million square feet so far. Every facility that we've had approved, we've gotten parking relief based on the use of the lot. If you'd like more in-depth information, I do have my traffic consultant who can talk about ITE standards, the studies that have been done in order to qualify that. But we've also owned and operated facilities, and the amount of parking that we'll put in works fine for the facility.
So if you felt like you wanted a little bit more of a buffer, you know, I know you came out at 8.9 or whatever, and you went with 12. If you wanted a little bit more room, wiggle room, you could do it on the same site?
What we've done here on our site plan is we've shown an area for potential expansion in the back corner where we could expand by 10 spaces if the need arose.
Okay, and we had another self-storage site that a lot of people were concerned about parking of trucks and just, you know, on the high, obviously when you average it out, it's a light traffic kind of burden, but the particular days that are popular, sometimes you could imagine there'd be more than one truck at a time. Do you have, I didn't see particularly identified truck parking, do you have enough space for that on this site?
There's three loading zones on site, which meets the criteria for the city for a warehouse. It also works for us operational. Rumford Ave is not that heavily traveled, and there is some room on the site for a truck to maneuver. Mm-hmm. It's a good size site.
So you could put more than one truck on there at a time?
Absolutely. We could have two or three unloading at the same time.
Okay. And then I guess the final question, well, two more questions, Mr. Garris, I apologize. So the retail or office idea on the other part of the site, was that also based on a market analysis that there's interest in the area enough for a retail or office site there, or?
Yes, absolutely. Our feeling is it's going to be more of an office. We've asked for retail or office and figured out parking to meet code either way to give us flexibility. We are working with a broker in the area that feels that medical office or professional office is really going to be where it's going to end up.
Okay. And if you didn't subdivide the site, you'd be able to do a building this size without any height waiver, right?
I would still need a height waiver, but I could do a much larger storage building if I didn't subdivide the lot.
Okay. Thanks.
President Offutt, President Lennon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to mention back to the piece about the landscaping. I think, as many of us know, when we worked on the Newtonville storage facility, we had the benefit of the facility being built into the hill. You don't have that here. So I think, you know, while that issue, that particular project, seems to be a little bit more contentious. I think you're very fortunate. In fact, you've had two public comments, both in favor, and the only thing that they really were talking about was landscaping. So I guess all I would ask is to be very sensitive to what they need. You know, we did our best to address the Newtonville situation. Obviously, had its own challenges, the area, the topography, all that kind of stuff. But I guess the point is that this will actually be 36 feet in height from the ground level, correct?
But as I pointed out in my opening remarks, this whole site sits in a valley, a big valley.
I totally understand. All I'm trying to say is that I don't have any confidence to support this. I don't need to see the traffic data. We went over that with Newtonville pretty extensively. It's low impact, and I guess the only comment I'm trying to say is that if you know, they ask you to do a couple of things that would help screen a particular area or in the back. I just hope you'd be extremely open to that. Yep. Thank you.
Briefly, I think this is a very good project. Appreciate the neighborhood input. That's very helpful. And as the president said, we have more than our fair share of familiarity with storage units, given how much we've learned about them over the last several months in another project. And I'll add that especially given the location, a site that's not used well currently, it's, you know, abutting the recycling center, it's in a commercial area. I mean, this seems to me a project that fits very nicely, and it's a low impact project, which I think is particularly helpful. Councillor Harney, and then I just want to ask the committee,
Is the committee comfortable voting this evening, or would you prefer to get some more information and we put this off till January? I really defer to the will of the committee. While we think about it, I'll pause and think about it for a moment. Councilor Harney?
Well, I'm comfortable voting this evening, and I just want to say that in addition to Ginny and Sam, who spoke this evening, the members of the Capasso family who own a lot of real estate across the street around the corner are supportive of this project. Attorney Frank Mercuri, who owns a building and property on the corner, supportive of this project. And I think it's a great use, and one extra benefit is the radio tower from the radio station being gone. Now they're going to be able to get reception on their TVs and in their radios, and it was a big problem for many, many, many years. So, and this is a really good project, I think. And we learned from the Lexington Street project right next to Sam's house that in the right location, it's a really benign use. And I'm supportive of this. And
is the council ready, the committee ready to move it? All right. So let me just do this. Is there any other member of the public who wishes to be heard? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Moved by Councilor Harney. All in favor of closing the public hearing? I've got 7 in favor, Mr. President. 7 in favor of closing the public hearing. None opposed. Public hearing is closed. Do I have a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Councilor Harney. Mr. Cronin, you have a draft board order for us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right. We'll read silently, and then we'll comment on each one. So let's just go to the first findings first. My only concern is the use of the word large parcel. I don't know if there's if that seems to me as a difficult word to include there. I'd prefer probably take it out. Yeah. Could you insert the square footage? Again, we've been trying, as I think we craft these findings and conditions, to avoid descriptives and try to be more factual. So let's, any other comments on 1? Turning to 2. I would add in the back, not only commercial, but actually abuts the city-owned recycling center. And I think it would be, I think that's worthy of note. Number 3, any questions on number 3? Okay. Go on, please, if we could, Mr. Cronin. Any other fourth finding? Yes. Do we need the words will contribute significantly to the efficient use and conservation? Is that right out of the ordinance?
Yes.
All right. Well, pardon? As yeah. Well, what are we going to get, Mr. Attorney Morris? Will we get sufficient information between now and the full council hearing as to some more specifics as to what you're going to do in this regard?
So why don't we do this? If we could, let's incorporate those into the conditions, specific language. And are you comfortable then with the finding if we have that in the conditions?
Yeah, if we could get a clear list of measures, then that's attached to the documents, that would be a better way to do it.
Right. Yep. Well, why don't let's hold that thought for a moment. I think what we're going to do here is we're going to utilize as the building, not the design, the building will utilize high efficiency materials while exceeding the Massachusetts stretch code, SkyJar compliant landscaping comprised of drought tolerant native species. Just some word tweaking here, Mr. Cronin, with perhaps some assistance from Mr. Waddick would be helpful. Okay. Let's move on to the conditions if we could, please. Oh, I'm sorry, there's another finding?
Yes, there's one last finding.
I don't think we need that last portion of the last four or so lines seem to be excessive. Councilor Schwartz, I'm sorry.
I'm not sure. I could be convinced that that is. I mean, the answer to my question was that they don't. They could put more parking stalls on there, but they just don't need them, and that's what this is saying, based on the studies.
I just want to make. We can add a few words. I don't think we need to have a four-line narrative about that. The paving on site. The amount of unnecessary paving on site. Because the number of stalls would be sufficient to meet
expected demand,
something of that nature. I'm not saying we have to eliminate it entirely.
Okay. That's the rationale, I think.
Okay. Others on the findings? Again, Mr. Cronin, if you could, I know Mr. Watt, if you have not had an opportunity to look at this, so if you could together tighten this. Yes, Councilor Cronin.
Probably a fair amount of language in here that we just probably don't need, but I'm going to suggest on the first page.
Are you going back to an earlier
finding? Number five.
Number five.
The requested exceptions, et cetera, are appropriate because such exceptions would provide for increased open space by reducing.
Fine.
I mean, the rest of it is seems
I think that's fine.
Okay.
So the gist is we're providing for increased open space by reducing the amount of unnecessary paving on site since the parking, since we're having less parking. And that was incredibly inartfully stated, but I'm sure Mr. Waddick and Mr. Cronin will do it better.
Pardon?
Most poetic? I don't think it was poetic at all. But I appreciate the compliment at 9:35 in the evening. All right. Findings. Anything else from the findings? All right. Conditions. So we're going to have some specifics here about the energy relevant.
Well, we're not because they're going to incorporate them into the documents.
We're going to put it as a condition. I think what Mr. Cronin was suggesting is that we actually put in the special permit what they're supposed to do so we don't have any ambiguity in addition to the plans.
Okay. Well, if we can do that, then we don't need to do the second call business.
Well, I think we don't know what it's going to be yet, so what I would do is put it on second call, and then presumably everybody reads the board order, and if we're satisfied, we just take it up on first call.
Okay.
That's how I propose to handle it. Just give us a bit of an out there if there's a problem. Okay. The sidewalks along the frontage of the property. Okay. Any questions on that? Councilor Auchincloss, no? All right. Hours of operation, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's not... Councilor Auchincloss?
I was going to asked Councillor Harney what he thought about that, given that in Newtonville we constrain them somewhat.
I spoke with the neighbors that are here tonight, and given the makeup of that particular area, they didn't have an objection to 6 a.m. Normally I probably would have asked 7, but I don't think there's an objection to at this location opening at 6.
Okay.
Councillor Schwartz?
I was just looking at the memo, and I think that it talked about gate access being from 6 to 10, but that the office was actually a tighter set of hours, 9:30.
Right, because but people can come and go and visit their personal belongings without someone being in the office.
Specify.
Do you want me to clarify how that operates?
Can we specify the condition, though, to differentiate between the gate and the office?
Let's hear from the petitioner, and then let's deal with that.
You're absolutely right. There are 2 hours. The 6 to 10 are gate access, so somebody who already has a contract can come, put a key code, and get into the fenced area to get into the building. And then the office hours are separate. And we've listed them.
What are your proposed office hours?
It's 9:30 to 6 Monday through Friday.
Since you're doing a special permit and you don't want to come back to us, do you want to maybe expand those hours? Do you have some more leeway at either end without being an undue burden?
I'm fine with the hours that we submitted.
Okay. That's your prerogative. I'm just trying to be helpful here, but that's fine.
I appreciate the comment.
All right. Okay.
So will we add that to that?
Yes, we'll add that. We'll be more specific about the types of operation, the gate opening 6 to 10, the office being 9:30 to whatever it was, 6. Okay. 4 is a compliance with the city's noise control ordinance. Is that necessary? Is there a reason for that? Seems to me that's a given, but go ahead.
Just for the HVAC equipment on the roof.
That's always the case.
Pardon?
I'm sorry. That's always the case that we have to comply.
I don't think we need to say we have to comply with our noise ordinance. Do we have any concerns about the HVAC equipment on the roof?
The condition for the Newtonville site, I thought it might be appropriate to carry over that.
Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about it as much. Newtonville had a unique set of circumstances being smack dab in the middle of a residential area. And we put a lot of belt and suspenders, frankly, on that one. Fair statement. Next, any other conditions? And I take it this was from the Newtonville one as well. For number 5 or number 6?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I just had a question.
Sure.
I think the hard copy I have is a little different that was on the desk, but I guess it would be under, 6 here. I believe in Newtonville, you guys should help me remember, there was the condition about not having the propane and flammable goods and things like that. But there was also a question that came up about the sale of moving materials and boxes, and are you doing that here? Not that I'm opposed to, I'm just curious, do we need to get that in there?
Let's find out what they're doing.
It is our intention to sell miscellaneous boxes, packing equipment, and that sort of thing.
I don't think we need to put anything in there, do you? Okay. I think there it was the outdoor sales or auctions. I think that was a concern. Again, I think the site, my personal view is the site is so different that some of the concerns we had there. But I think this one is fine. I mean, we had it in the last one. Utilities being located underground standard. Site lighting shall not be controlled with motion detected sensors. Is that acceptable, Attorney Morris? It works for you? Okay. Anything else here? Okay. All right. Any other conditions we need to be aware of? Is that it?
Probably a final site plan for review to the Director of Planning Development.
For the landscaping?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Councilor Schwartz?
I guess we're referring to the roof plan and the particular materials and the, you know, the environmental beneficial aspects in, I guess, our condition one, but are we specifically stating that those need to be maintained?
It isn't drafted, so I think we ought to, when the condition's drafted, it should be not only included, but to the extent certain things need to be maintained, I think we should add that. Does that address your concern?
Right, so for that, and then is that also the same with the landscape plan?
I think we should put that in as well.
I think
standard landscaping is you shall put in and then maintain in good condition.
Because that's what we really heard mostly tonight. That was really the one comment that we did hear.
Okay. And does that?
Well, there was just one last thing about the landscaping. I know that they referred us to which types of trees, but I guess the question that was in response to it, I think it was Councillor Austin Goss's question that how tall are these trees? I don't know. I mean, is 25? 45? Not when they're put in.
It'll be 45 feet when they're fully grown. The question
right.
is how tall are they when they grow in and how quickly they'll grow.
I'm not an expert in this, but it just seemed like that was one of the issues with the height of the building. So
it says 7 feet on the plan. 2.5-inch caliper, 7 feet.
7 feet.
And they grow how much a year, any idea?
Several feet.
Roughly 2 feet per year. 2 feet. So to get to 36, that's...
Well within our lifetime, Councillor Schwartz.
About 11 years?
At least
year, 12 years?
Don't mind.
13 years?
I'm opting for at least that. I don't know if I'll be still up here at that point in time or not.
14 and a half years, I think, yeah.
All right. Anybody else? Alright. We good? Well, is there something you'd like more specific or? Okay. I'm sorry, what? Okay. Well, I think what my intent is your motion, Councillor Harney, but I suggest we do is subject to second call so we all have an opportunity to read the board order. If there's any issues, we'll certainly put on second call. But otherwise, we'll I'll poll the committee at the appropriate time and put on first call. Yes.
Just one last thing. Can we make sure that's available to us in the Friday packet so people can come in on Monday before the meeting?
Mr. Corrin, we're not taking this up until a week from Monday night. So maybe, you think even a week from tonight or a week from tomorrow night, we could have a board order circulated to us?
Absolutely. I can reach out with Attorney Morris regarding the conservation.
Does that work?
I just want to make sure we get back those plans that so we can...
Well, but I'm suggesting we get the draft board order to us earlier, sometime mid-next week, so that we all have plenty of time to give Mr. Corrin any comments. Okay? All right. Councillor Harney, motion subject to second call. Will you take that as a friendly amendment? All right. I have a motion by Councillor Harney. All in favor? 7 in favor, none opposed. Attorney Morris, you know the routine. You'll talk to the planning department about this. And we are adjourned. Thank you all very much. Have a good evening. Good luck with your project.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, thank you for your courtesy.